Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good to have you all with us. And boy, we're still in the midst of just a beautiful season here with the sunrises and all that. But welcome to April. Hard to believe we're getting there already. But with April, there are years where if we're in April, it means Easter's already behind us. This is not one of those years, but Easter is now just 2 weeks away. And what an exciting thing it is for our congregation here to not only celebrate Easter, but also all of the things that lead up to Easter, starting with Holy Week. Now, for those of you that have been a part of our Wednesday night meals and services, first of all, we have one more this coming week. Outreach is going to be serving. By the way, there had been talk of trying to do a chicken soup and chili cook-off. That will just have to wait for another mealtime. Mocha has got some delicious sausage things that they're going to be preparing for that night. So we look forward to that. But soon enough, we'll have the chance to try that. After we get done, though, with our Lenten services, we have been going through a series of these. They're called Crossroads. They are interviews with different people from the story of Jesus' crucifixion. Those Crossroads interviews are going to be moving into all of our Holy Week services. There will be a Crossroads interview next Sunday as part of the Palm Sunday service. And then the Maundy-Thursday service, there will be one service only on that Thursday night at 6:30. Both of the Good Friday services, 12 noon and 7 o'clock. And then for our two Easter festival services at our regular worship times here at 8 and 11. And our youth are selling tickets for our Easter breakfast between the two services. They're going to be selling those this morning. Please be picking up your tickets for those here just real, real soon so they have some idea of how many people are going to be there. And also don't forget that we have a third service. It's not here, but it's back out at Timber Greens Golf Course, 11th hole again, and our Faith Factor, they will be providing the music for that service. That service begins at 7 o'clock if you'd like to join them. And we're going to be blessed this year because with a late Easter, I think there will actually be some light out on the golf course as we get going for our service this time. That doesn't happen with an earlier Easter. This coming Wednesday, Frieda Steinke is going to be presenting Sights of Budapest, Hungary as part of the Ladies Guild meeting. That's at 12:30. So please join them for that then. And also, now that we're in April, while we're just at the beginning of the month, the last day of the month is indeed a Sunday. And on Sunday, April the 30th, Pastor Charles Lentner will be coming down as our guest preacher. One service only. And we're trying to give everybody as much notice as we can on that. One service only at 10 o'clock. Yes, it will be a service of Holy Communion, but two other things about that. Number one, there will be a banquet over at Spartan Manor, and you need to purchase your tickets for that. The deadline is not imminent on that yet, but the sooner people get our tickets, the sooner we can find out just how many people we have that are going to be going to that. For those that worship on Saturday night, that same weekend, that Saturday night service is going to be the next time where as a group, we're going to be going out for supper. And as I understand it, it's a long ways away yet, but there's some place that sells hot dogs or something like that over here, not far from Ketch's. It's over there somewhere. I'll get a name for you. They just decided what it was going to be last night. But they do have a place that they're going to be going after the Saturday night service. So, and then this coming Saturday, the Altar Guild is having their spring cleanup day. The more people we get, the quicker they get the work done. So help us with that. Our Easter lilies are also at a point where we need to get those ordered. The deadline is imminent, and we do want to make sure that we have a sanctuary that's just beautiful with Easter lilies when that time comes. Friends, please stand. Our order of worship this morning is the Lenten setting for Divine Service Setting 3, which means there will be some parts that we omit during this season. You may follow along on the screen. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce unto you the grace of God. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
These are our readings from Holy Scripture for the fifth Sunday in Lent. The Old Testament lesson is found in Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. Life is restored in the valley of dry bones. The prophet writes, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is found in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Life in the Spirit through Christ. St. Paul writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. The sign of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now a certain man was ill. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to Jesus where he was and saw him, she fell at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. This is the gospel of our Lord. We join Christians throughout the world in confessing our Christian faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I ask that you stand as we confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God's grace, mercy, and peace is all around us. It is in our hearts. It will always be a part of our faith through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died and rose and took all of our sins upon himself that we might be the children of God. Amen. Even as we're going to be talking about this remarkable miracle of Jesus, hear these words again at the end of our second lesson. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. I'm curious. I know that there are a lot of books with different colors, and some of those colors are blue, But put aside the notion of generic blue books. How many of you know what, I'll put this in quotes, the blue book is? It's called the blue book. A couple of you do. This is the book, there's some things called NADA, and there's Edmunds and a couple of those others that do valuations of your car or whatever it is that you drive. And by the way, the dealerships have got another book. It's a black book that does about the same thing, but makes absolutely certain that the values they have in their books about 20% less than the ones that you see. That's absolute truth there. But the whole purpose of it is to try to define for you a value of what you have. Now, unfortunately, when it comes to cars, the depreciation is really something. And if you've been driving your vehicle, and you've had it a good number of years, and I mean driving it, no matter what they might supposedly give you in trade when it really comes right down to it, it's not going to be worth much. And there are a lot of things in life that maybe we value that on the outside are utterly valueless. But then there are some things that, okay, who knows what the real value is? I mean, we have people out there all of a sudden that are out there valuing anything. Jewelry, the kinds of things that you might not want to have anymore and you'd like to sell, and whether people see a true value or not. But if you have a hobby, something you enjoy doing, and you do it well, no amount of money in the world, even if you wanted to take it, would compensate for what you are able to do and love doing. That's an assessment that you are trying to value things in life that are important. And as God has blessed us, He's blessed us with gifts to use. He's blessed us with faith to use. He's blessed us with the message of Scripture to use. All of those things have got real value. But the question is, what is truly valuable in life? Friends, the value of so many things is tainted by the fact that whether it's the human body or so many things that we have, there is only a certain limit to that life. There's a poet by the name of Dylan Thomas who wrote a poem that was called "Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night." You might have heard this poem a time or two, where he almost cries out, "Rage, rage against the dying of the light." But no matter how hard we try, we are going to find that at some point that's a battle we're going to lose. Now, sometimes that battle ends almost as a blessing. As we see a life of a person that seemed to have long before had been leaving us piece by piece by piece. But then there are those times when it seems like life was all too short. And this morning seems to be one of those times where, and we don't really know much about the relative ages of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, but here is someone that Jesus valued highly who has now lost his life. But what comes out of this is so amazing. What comes out of this tells us so much about what our Savior can do because, well, let's put it this way. Throughout the centuries, there's always been debates about what happens at the time of death. And hard part is, the only way you're ever really going to know and find out is to die. But one of the things that they argue about is, okay, at what point does the body and soul separate? We can't know. Scripture doesn't really tell us. But scholars like to debate such things. And there are those that believe that, some that believe that it happens almost immediately. I think it would make sense to most of us. There are some that actually believe that this does not take place for as long as 3 days. It's like the soul tarries for a while waiting for whatever. But no matter what the debate goes, there isn't anybody back in Jesus' day or today, that has ever believed that there was a separation of soul and body that took longer than 3 days. All of a sudden, today, with Jesus and Lazarus, it is 4 days. 4 days. And Jesus does some things that we just really do not always understand. And look, Scripture is Scripture, but there is a particular sentence in today's gospel lesson that I have read it again and again and again. I went back and translated it out of the Greek. Did I miss something? I've talked to professors about this passage, and I said, it just doesn't make sense to me. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. That makes a lot of sense, except that Jesus had a plan. Jesus knew what it is that had to take place. He needed to give a lesson to everybody. First of all, that he is the person who has power over death and over all things. And he doesn't just defeat death. He routs it. He absolutely does a touchdown dance right over death. That no matter how strong its power seems, and it hurts to be people that have had to watch those we love and those we know be taken from us one by one. It hurts. But Jesus is going to triumph over it. And nothing in this life can compare to it. I don't know how closely any of you follow sports, but an amazing thing happened just this past week in the world of sports. Does anybody, I'm not going to ask you to tell me, but are any of you thinking what it is? This past week, the longest winning streak in the history of sports that we know of by any team, save for the Harlem Globetrotters, we'll put them in another category, but the longest streak of consecutive games won, over 110 games by a women's college basketball team, the University of Connecticut, came to an end. See, our victories in this world, no matter how good we try to be, just are not going to last. But Jesus comes in and gives us victory where there was only defeat. Jesus comes in and shows us what is truly important. And he had to help Martha along the way. Martha, well, Mary said the same thing. You know, Lord, if you'd have gotten here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus had to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And by the way, do I have to remind you that you can see even in this life the power of the kingdom of God? And then, friends, next to the resurrection of Jesus himself, this probably has to rate as his most greatest miracle. I mean, all of them are incredible. We have nothing with which we can compare any of his miracles to, but to raise a man from the dead who has been dead for 4 days and give him back. A remarkable thing to show what the power of God is. Now, from that, we have to learn two lessons about the true assessment of value. Number one, lest we want to ask too quickly, well, Lord, if you could have done that, couldn't you have, how are you filling the blank there? And I know there are times when we all could wish that we could build one more memory, have one more day to say that which, for whatever reason, was left unsaid. But Jesus always has other plans, and unfortunately for Lazarus, one of the things that we learn about him was that a short time later, as part of the Palm Sunday message, mention is made of Lazarus and how, you know, part of what the people came out to see was actually when they heard about this. But we don't ever hear about Lazarus again. One thing we can be certain of is that Lazarus once again faced death. Even if he was granted back life in the most miraculous fashion possible, Lazarus is no longer with us. And each of us in the short time of life that we have left need to understand that end is going to come. And it's going to come for many of us sooner than we would like. But in the midst of all of that is him who is the resurrection and the life. He who has reminded us of the wonderful things that we receive in faith through the Holy Spirit, that as long as we have life, we can do the same kinds of miraculous things because God provides the miracle in His Word, in His Supper, in His life. Because ultimately, we need to understand what the most valuable things in life are. And too many people miss it. You know, considering it, here, first with the raising of the dead of Lazarus, then with the raising of the dead of Jesus. One thing we can be sure of, that should have taken care of all of the opposition to Jesus and to Christianity once and for all, right? Reading from Scripture again. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What are we to do? If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him." Oh, what a tragedy. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. That was their God. That was what they valued. That's what they thought was the most important thing. So what happened? They thought they got rid of Jesus, but they didn't. Oh, and yeah, the Romans came and took away their place of worship and their nation. Friends, we do not find the real value in anything outside the faith, but even then, we need to understand what Jesus is doing for us. There was a story out of the place in Missouri where there was all of that damage that took place, all of that rioting that took place. And in the midst of that, you know, there was a CVS pharmacy that was utterly destroyed in Ferguson, Missouri. And one of the local TV stations actually interviewed one of the looters and asked him, "Well, what were you taking?" And the guy said, "Well, I found some little things on the wall and some figurines with Jesus on it and some cards that talk about Jesus." And the person said, "Well, why would you take those?" "Well, I love Jesus." Friends, if that's how we value Jesus, we're still missing something. We're still on the road that's going to tell us what death is all about, not what life is all about. Jesus gives us life. Jesus shows to us the way. Yes, it is a life that comes through death, his death and ours. But he who is the resurrection and the life will make certain that the life that he has lived will now live in us, and that whoever lives and believes in him need not worry. Oh, we may face a physical death, just as Lazarus did, just as everybody else does, just as those who value their life like it's the only thing in the world, and those that understand that something greater waits behind them. Friends, our life is in Christ. Let our life be lived to Christ and with Christ and be all about him who raised Lazarus from the dead, who raised himself from the dead, and who will raise you from the dead. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Grant grace, we pray in mercy, Lord. We pray for your kingdom on earth, around the globe. May there be an increase of the word of life. May the Spirit's power be made evident in the church as it reaches out to all parts of the world, bringing the good news of life and the forgiveness through Christ to every place. Gracious God, in mercy, grant love, we pray, in mercy, Lord. We pray for our household of faith, for our families, for our surrounding neighborhoods, that we may be filled with a sense of appreciation for all your good gifts. As we are blessed by the care of others, so may we bless them with care in your name. Loving God, in mercy, grant health, we pray, in mercy, Lord. We pray at this time for all who are sick, who are shut in, all who this day are in need of the special comfort and strength as you bring healing, restoration, and life to those who had been dead either to sin or even in their life, sometimes for days, for others in their entire life. May the prayers that we lift up on behalf of your people be answered. May these people be supported by God's people with care in the name of Christ. Gracious God, in mercy, grant care, we pray, in mercy, Lord. Lead us by the working of the Holy Spirit to do that which God intends for us to do, as we are agents of care and concern in our circles of relationship. Bless our families. Bless us as we gather together as part of your holy and precious family, understanding that we are part of the group that have been reminded that if we are with you, we see the kingdom of God. Gracious God in mercy, grant blessing, we pray, Lord, as we prepare ourselves for that special meal that you give to us, as we eat and drink Christ's body and blood, grant us to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Gracious God, in mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels, with archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes on the top of page 11 with the unison prayer. Please stand as we close in prayer by speaking together. O Lord and giver of life, you call your people from death and despair to faith and faithfulness. In Christ, we are assured of resurrection and life. Enlighten our hearts that we may have a right understanding in all things and may rejoice in the power and blessing of your word among us. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Father are one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace.